all the way at the beginning in the introduction, on page Dalid, we're going to start exactly in the middle of the page. The Alter Rebbe is explaining the problem with written books as far as helping people to get advice. First, he says, number one, if it's based on human intellect, not every human intellect can handle every type of different people's intellect. Even if it's Torah, some people have a problem finding their letter, so to speak, in the Torah. And he says, because we find even in Torah, there's many different opinions, from kosher to treif extreme, because these souls came from chesed, from kindness, so they're lenient. These souls came from strictness, so they're stricter, and so on and so forth. And that Alter Rebbe started explaining, but because I know everybody, and everybody has spoken to me, and they open up their hearts, therefore I am writing advice based on what the teachings of what I heard from my rabbis and your rabbis and so on. So it's exactly in the middle of the page, which says, Ki ein azman groma eid, the Alter Rebbe says the time doesn't allow anymore. To answer everybody's question in detail. The Alter Rebbe says simply, I don't have the time anymore for everybody to come in and ask the questions that I should answer them individually. Plus, forgetting, people forget. So even if I tell you something, you might forget it. So then we lose the benefit again. So he says, okay, Rishamti, therefore I made a note. Of kol ha-tshuva, I wrote down every answer. I'll call ha-shailas and every question. L'mishmeres la'is, for a sign to keep. L'yes l'chol echad ve'echad l'zikaron b'ineinav, that everybody can have it in front of them. And he says, v'le'yitchek eid, the people will not push anymore. L'chonis l'david imi b'yechidis, to enter, come in to speak to me privately. They will find comforting for their soul. The eight and the chain and the proper advice, the choldaver akasha all of avedas Hashem, for anything which is difficult for them in serving of Hashem. So the Alter Rebbe says like this: this book is different. Why? Because I heard all your problems already, and I know all of you. And as Chassidim, the Rebbe Rashab said, like we mentioned last week, what it means is that any person that will ever pick up a book of Tanya and learn it, the Alter Rebbe said, I know your problem, and I wrote an answer to every spiritual dilemma that can possibly exist in Yiddishkeit. The Alter Rebbe, I wrote it in the book, that you have it constantly before your eyes, to be able to find an answer for all your questions. And he said, V'nochen yi alibei b'tor b'Hashem, and his soul will be comforted or proper, trusting in Hashem, Geimer Badeinu, who does it, finishes it for us. So the Alter Rebbe says, you can find the answer to any spiritual question in Tanya. Now what happens if you can't? You're not great enough to find the answer to your question. So he says like this, Umi Shedaitik Sodom, a person whose mind is limited, that's not able to find advice from these pamphlets, he should take his words, meaning he should take your question to the elders of the community, to the older chassidim, and they will make you understand it. So if you can't find the answer in Tanya, go to the older chassidim, the greater chassidim, and they will find you the answer. And to them, the Alter Rebbe says like this, Ba'aleim bakashasi, and to the older chassidim I'm requesting, Shlei losum yad lepeh, don't put your hand to your mouth, Lisnaig ba'anova v'shifle shel shakechas v'sholim, to act in a way of false humility. And the Alter Rebbe says, when somebody comes to you to ask you advice, that you should find their answer for their questions in Tanya, don't put your hand to your mouth as if to say, oh, I can't, I don't know how. It's called anava shel shiflis v'sheker. It's called false, lying humility, which is a terrible crime in Chassidus. In Chassidus it's explained, and this is one of the fundamental concepts, by the way, in the concept of serving Hashem. As important, the Rebbe writes, as important that it is for a person to know their faults, it is equally important for them to know their greatnesses. Equally important. Just like everybody knows that it's important to know our faults, because then we'll know what to rectify and what to fix. Part of medicine is to know what the illness is. If you don't know what the illness is, it's impossible to cure. So the same thing in spiritual illness. Every person needs to know their faults, because then you can work on it to rectify it. Equally important is for people to know the unique talents that they have. Because if they have a talent and they don't utilize the talent with false modesty, they are not only are they not accomplishing what Hashem wants them to accomplish, they are actually wasting a power that Hashem created in the world. In other words, if somebody has a talent in art and they don't use the talent, they are wasting that talent that Hashem created. And their mission in life is to use art, whether it's art or music or talking or teaching or helping, whatever it may be. If a person has a talent in a certain thing, they have an obligation to do it. And if not, and if they don't do it, I don't draw nice, I don't sing, whatever it is, it's false humility. And Alter Rebbe says this is a terrible crime. And therefore he says, I'm begging the older Hasidim that if somebody comes to you to ask you advice how to find it in the books, don't put your hand to your mouth to act with al nava v'shifle shel sheker chas v'sholem, fake false humility. Ukaneda eina shamat, and it's known the terrible punishment al menei abad of people that hold back something that they can share. The gadol haschar, and the great reward of sharing it. So the Alter Rebbe is saying two things over here. Number one, to the people that he's writing the book, the Alter Rebbe is saying, this book will answer all your questions. That the Rebbe Yitzchak Berditchev, when they showed him the Tanya, he was a good friend, he was a mechut with the Alter Rebbe, the grandchildren married each other. But the Berditchev said, he marveled about the book, and he said, the Alter Rebbe took such a great God and put it into such a small book. The Alter Rebbe in Tanya answers every possible question. So he says, I want you to know, you have a problem spiritually, go look in the book. You can't get it, go to the elders. And to them, the Alter Rebbe is saying, don't play shtick. You can help somebody, go help them. And he says, it's known the punishment for holding back and the reward for giving. Like it's known, man, the Maimer Chazrazal. And the Pasuk, Meir Einei Shneim Hashem. Hashem illuminates the eyes of both of them. It's a Pasuk, and before it speaks about a poor man coming to a rich man, and the rich man gives the poor man, so the Pasuk says, right after that, the Pasuk says, Hashem illuminates the eyes of both of them. That means the rich man gets, the poor man gets, everybody gets. Ki yoyin Hashem ponav aleihem, Hashem will shine His face to them, which is Er Pnei Melech Chayim, which is the light of the face of the king. Or Mechaya Chayim, from the source of life. Yizakeinu v'yichayenu, Hashem will merit us and make us live. L'yamim, to the days of Mashiach, when the Pasuk says, Ashal yilmedu ish es re'ehu, that there will be no need for somebody to teach somebody else. Ki kulam yedu esi, everybody will know God, Hashem says, from the youngest to the oldest. Why? Because the whole world will be permeated with the knowledge of Hashem. So this is really the end of the introduction. Now the Alter Rebbe gets into business things. But
if a person feels debilitated by, let's say, person or other people's actions, and they can't fulfill their mission, is that
no, it's called a cop-out. Because a person could do whatever they're able to do. Now, Alter Rebbe says like this. After these things were publicized, printed, in other words, like this. Alter Rebbe initially wrote Tanya as pamphlets. He didn't write the book. Alter Rebbe wrote Tanya's pamphlets, and people didn't have copy machines, they would rewrite it. And everybody knows when you start rewriting things, you end up full of mistakes. So the Alter Rebbe writes, once these pamphlets were spread out amongst Anash, Batakis rabbis and many copies, me they say from shenim and mashunim, with intentional mistakes, accidental mistakes. In a deidibu atakis shenis, through the many copies written, rabu kumay rabu ato sefer b'meid came about tremendous amount of mistakes. And therefore, not varuchim shanoshim efrotzim, the generous people that are mentioned, and the be'eva ladaf on the other side of the page, made an effort l'treach begufim u'me'edam, to make an effort with their bodies and their money, lahavius ekuntresim and alavesa tvus, to bring it to print, menukim mikol sig v'toy sefer, free from any mistakes. Umagoyim hetev, and they were properly edited, meaning now that we're printing the Tanya, to edit it properly. So he said, Amina lepola tova, I'm saying for a good deed that they did. Yashachkeach to them for doing what they did. But the fact that the Torah says, order masig vul re'ehu, you're not allowed to steal somebody's boundaries. The ordered by, and he's cursed. Klolabai, he has another type of curse. Neither has to show me he's excommunicated. So the Alter Rebbe is saying, I don't want anybody printing this book for 5 years. In other words, copyrighted for 5 years. And he says, I came to Yehuda ve'ed l'kra, like Yehuda in addition to the Pasik, because really it's a Pasik. Kasina, I'm coming, l'mishter guda rabba, to make a big ban in excommunication. I'll call him at Fisim and all printers. Shalalahatvis kuntresim, and now not to print these books of Tanya. Layai they atma, not themselves, and not through their arrow, meaning their representative. Bilti reshus and the kuvim, and now without permission of the people mentioned before. Meshe chamesh shanim, 5 years from the time the printing is finished. Or the shame to the ones that listen to this. Yainim v'tovim birchas tev, they have the brach of good. Kedivri amalakit, so are the words of the person who gathered. Lekutei Amarim, the gathering of sayings. So this is the introduction that the Alter Rebbe wrote. Now that we finished the introduction, let's start an actual Tanya.
What? Who allowed to say if we defeat God in a small book?
Why not?
Because Hashem is limited, but the book is limited.
Is Chumash limited? In quantity or quality? No, I know exactly what you mean. I'm answering exactly the same way. Chumash is limited or unlimited? Well, there's exact amount of psukim in Chumash. There's exact amount of words. You're cold. Okay, cold. I'm going to have here a shelf with coats. Blankets and coats. See, the men, when they get cold, put on a talus, so they just get warmed up. Torah is, as the Pasuk says, Aruch Meretz Midor Chava Miniyam. Torah is infinite. Yet, there is an exact amount of words in Chumash, in Navi, in Ksuvim, okay? At the end of each Sedra, it says how many Pesukim in the Sedra. At the end of Chumash, take the last Chumash, at the end of the last Parsha, it says exactly how many letters are in the entire Chumash. 305,000, right? Exactly how many sentences are in Chumash, how many words are in Chumash. Everything is exact in Chumash. That is in the quantity, in the numbers. If you're talking about the Pasuk Bereishis Baro Elokim Asah Shemayim Vesaretz is 6 words, which is limited, it's 6 words. But the depth of that Pasuk is infinite. Okay, now, the Gemara says, relevant to Shavuos, the first word of the Aseret Dibros is Anechi Hashem Elokecha, right? I am God, you God. So the Gemara says, what is Anechi? The Gemara says Anechi is an acronym. Ana Nafshi Ksavis Yehovis. Aleph Nun Chof Yud stands for Ano Nafshi Ksavis Yehovis. What does it mean, Ano Nafshi Ksavis Yehovis? If you take an English Gemara, it means I myself wrote it and gave it. In other words, what is Hashem saying about Torah? I am the author of Torah, I gave it. The Alter Rebbe interprets the word Anechi. What does it mean, I myself wrote it and gave it? The Alter Rebbe says it a little bit different. I wrote myself and gave myself. Not I myself wrote it and gave it, that Hashem's the author. Hashem says about Torah Nechid, this is what the Gemara means. Ano nafshi k'sovis yovis can also mean, not only I myself wrote and gave it, but it means I wrote myself and I gave myself. Meaning, in Torah is the essence of Hashem. Torah and Hashem is all one. Right? Hashem and the Torah are one. Now, how could you say Torah and Hashem is one if Torah is a limited book and Hashem is so infinite? The answer is, Torah is infinite. Torah is infinite. There's no end to, in the depth of Tanya, the Dalt Rebbe said, the Baal Ditzchever said, he took such an infinite God and put it into such a little book. Hashem did the same thing with Chumash. Hashem took his infinite self and limited himself into a limited Torah. In words. What? No, but anytime there's an aspect of Torah, anytime there's an aspect of Torah, something that becomes Torah is infinite. Once it becomes Torah, it's infinite. And therefore, the work of Tanya is infinite. Any Torah book is infinite. You know, when we were Bachim Yeshiva, then the Rebbe used to start speaking to Rashi Sichas. You know, the Rebbe used to take a Rashi and ask so many questions and answer it, and right? So he once asked one of our teachers, did Rashi really think that? Did Rashi really think the depth that the Rebbe is explaining in the Rashi? Well, he just wrote it, and you know. So he told us there's a story with the Rebbe Rashab, one of the long, famous continuation of Maimonides with Samach Vav. Okay? In the first page of Samach Vav, the Rebbe Rashab starts off with the Gemara Yom Tov Shir Rosh Hashanah, it falls out in Shabbos, and he asks a number of questions on the first page. So the story told that a chassid who used to teach chassidus in a city once came to the Rebbe Rashab. So the Rebbe Rashab asked him, what do you teach in your city? So he told him, I teach Samach Vav, which the Rebbe Rashab wrote, yeah? So he said, no, tell me something that you spoke. Tell me an explanation that you gave. So the chassid said to the Rebbe Rashab, and he explained to him an explanation of why the questions on the first page of Samach Vav are in the order that they're in. So the number of questions, why they're in the order, what they're in. So the Rebbe Rashab heard his explanation, and when he was done, he said, I'll tell you the truth. I didn't think of it. But once something becomes Torah, you can go infinite. I'll give you another strange example. Lukut Sichas, when they used to come out every Shabbos, individual, you know, the Rebbe edited. The Rebbe used to come out Shabbos morning to davening with the Sikh of the week, and he used to learn at the middle of davening. Okay, now the question is, he said it, he edited it right before Shabbos. The Rebbe didn't forget. He had a very good head. What's he sitting and learning his own Sikha? And what's the purpose of the Rebbe sitting or standing and learning his own Sikha? The answer is, once something is Torah, you can go into the depth of it. Even the one that wrote it can go deeper. And there's another interesting story that I mentioned a long time ago. The Tzemach Tzedek once said a maimer. He said a Chassidic discourse. And the Tzemach Tzedek had sons who were brilliant. And he had a great chassid by the name of the Pilopatacher. So they were arguing what the Tzemach Tzedek meant when he said the maimer. They're arguing, what did the Tzemach Tzedek mean? The Pilopatacher said one way, and the kid said a different way. So the kid said, you know what? Let's go ask, we'll go into our father and we'll ask him. So they went into the Tzemach Tzedek, and they said to him, Rebbe, what did you mean when you said the maimer? Did you mean like this, or did you mean like this? So the Tzemach Tzedek said, I meant this way, which happened to be like his kid said. So the kids, they walked out, and they turned to Rebbe Hillel, Paracher, and they said, no, okay, so we're right? He said, no, I still disagree. They said to him, what do you mean you disagree? He said it. He's telling us what he meant. What do you mean you disagree with us? So Rabbi Hillel said to them that when a Rebbe says a maimer, it's the Shechina speaking through his throat, like Chazal say. Shechina medaberes mitoch greina shel meishir. It's when a tzaddik says it's the Shechina speaking. Once it's finished speaking and it becomes Torah, the tzemach tzaddik who said it could learn one way, and I could learn a different way, and we could both be right. Torah is infinite. He took a big God and put it into a finite book. The Chazal say about Torah, in fact, Galt Rebbe says it later in Perek Dalet, in a place where you find God's greatness, that's where you find His humility. And Galt Rebbe defines in Perek Dalet of Tanya, what does that mean? That the Eibishter takes His infinite wisdom and puts it into a finite book. And it remains infinite. Okay, let's go start from the beginning. Okay, it says Tanya B'Sef Perek Gimel D'Nida. We learn in the Brayse at the end of the third paragraph of the Gemara Nida, Mashpi and Eisei, it says like this: before the Neshama comes into the world, we administer an oath to the Neshama to he tzaddik va'al tihidosha. You should be a tzaddik, you should be righteous, and you shouldn't be a wicked person. And then the Gemara continues and says, Afilu kol ha'elam kulei emin mach. Even if the whole world tells you, tzaddik ata, you're a tzaddik, even if everybody tells you you're a holy guy, heyei b'necha kadosha, in your own eyes you should feel like a wicked person. This is the Gemara. So before the Alter Rebbe asks contradiction and logics, there's a fundamental question which is asked over here by the Tzemach Tzedek and explained by the Tzemach Tzedek in many places in Chassidus. And that is like this. The Gemara says, before the Neshama is about to be born, before it's about to come into the body, we administer an oath to the Neshama. What's the oath? Be a tzaddik and not a rasha. So number one, it's redundant. If you're a tzaddik, you're not a rasha. If you're not a rasha, you're a tzaddik. So why is the oath doubled? Be a tzaddik and don't be a rasha. It should either say be a tzaddik, finished, or don't be a rasha. It's the same thing. Number two, which is more difficult to understand, who gets this oath? The Neshama gets the oath. The Neshama wants to be a tzaddik. Who's stopping the Neshama, the soul, from being a tzaddik? The body and the Yetzirah. So what is the purpose of giving the Neshama an oath that he should be a tzaddik? He said, listen, guy, I want to be a tzaddik. The Neshama wants to do good. The Neshama wants to do only mitzvahs, no avedas. He has to contend with the body and an animal soul. So what's the purpose of the Shavua?
I thought the Neshama doesn't change. It's the body and the... Isn't that right?
The body and the...
The bad soul?
When a person sins, the neshama is affected. Now, what does it mean the neshama is affected? The essence of the Jew, the pintal yid, the nukudas sayadas, the essence of the neshama is not affected. But the rest of the neshama, the revealed powers, the intellect, the emotional, the thought, speech, that of the godly soul is affected. That's why it needs to be cleansed. Right? Now, the person could sin. If the person could sin, the neshama is the one that's part of it. In fact, the Medrash tells a famous story, a mashal. The Nefesh says when a person comes, the Medrash says, after 120 years, a person comes upstairs for judgment, yeah? So God turns to the soul. He says, me? What do you want from me? I'm a holy guy. I mean, without the body, I can't sin. What do you want from me? God turns to the body and says, what's with you? He says, me, I'm a hunk of meat. Without the soul, I'm dead. So, what do you want from me? Blame the soul. The soul says, blame the body. Right? And the body says, blame the soul. So God is smarter than that. So the Medrash says, a marshal. There was an analogy of a king that once had a luscious orchard. It was unbelievable fruit. To such an extent, he couldn't hire a guard, because every guard would eat up the fruit. So what did the king do? He hired two guards. One was blind and one was crippled. The blind guy couldn't see the fruits, and the crippled guy couldn't climb the tree to get the fruits. So the king was safe. One day, the crippled guy, this is what the Medrash says, the crippled guy says to the blind guy, "Yo, we're stupid. There's luscious fruit over here. You don't see it, and I can't climb the tree. You know what? This is ridiculous. I'm going to get up on your shoulders," the crippled guy says to the blind guy, "I'm going to get up on your shoulders, and I'm going to tell you where to walk, and we're going to go to the trees, and we're going to eat all the fruit." So that's what they did. They ate up all the fruit. Comes the next day, the king comes to the orchard, and he says, "Hey, what happened to the fruit?" So the blind guy says, "Your Majesty, me? I'm blind, I can't see the fruit, what do you want from me?" The crippled guy says, "Your Majesty, me? I'm crippled, I can't do anything." What does the king do? He puts the blind person, the crippled guy, on top of the blind guy and beats him up together. The neshama comes and says, "God, me?" Go to the body. The body says, "Me?" Go to the neshama. God says, "You know what? You sin together, I'm going to put you together and beat you both up together." The neshama sins. But the neshama doesn't want to sin. The neshama sins because the body is sinning. Right? So the question is, what is the purpose of the shvua, of the oath? What are you administering an oath if it doesn't do anything? So Chassidus explains, the word mashbien doesn't only mean swear. It comes from the word v'alchalta v'savata. The root of mashbien is shin beis ayin, which is three meanings. Sheva, seven. Shavua, oath. And saveya, to fill up. Chassidus explains, the mashbien eisei doesn't mean he gives the shvua. What do you mean? He stands there with his left hand on the Bible, and he picks up his right hand, and what does it mean to give the shvua, you give an oath to the neshama? It means, masbien eisei, you fill up the neshama with the ability, meaning that the neshama is given power and strength from Hashem to overcome the body, that the he tzaddik, that it could be a tzaddik. It's not only the vow is actually a power given to the neshama that it could become a tzaddik. So that's the purpose of the shvua, and a Jew therefore has to know, as this explains, that when the Jew says, "I can't," it's not true. Because the Jew is given the ability at birth, or before birth for that matter, before the neshama is coming into the body, that he could be a tzaddik and not a rasha. The redundancy we're going to see much later in Tanya, the way the Alter Rebbe answers that question. But the point is that before the neshama comes into the world, the neshama is given the administered and given the power that it can be a tzaddik and not a rasha. And then the Gemara says a second statement, that even if everybody tells you you're a tzaddik, in your own eyes it should be a rasha. Right. Well, Dr. Rebbe is going to ask a few additional contradictions. Number one, it says in Pirkei Avos, don't be a Rasha in your own eyes. And here the Gemara says, be in your own eyes like a Rasha. And then Dr. Rebbe is, it's later, Dr. Rebbe, next week there's no class, obviously. So Dr. Rebbe is going to ask even, what is the purpose of thinking you're no good? And the Gemara basically says, even if everybody tells you you're a great guy, you should think you're a Rasha. Right? So Dr. Rebbe says that. First of all, it's a contradiction. Another place says you shouldn't be a Russian in your eyes. Second, the Rebbe says, listen, if you take it seriously that you're no good, you become depressed, which is no good. If you couldn't care less about it, then you live up to your reputation. You know, I'm bad and I want to be bad. So then, again, it's no good. What in the world is the purpose of telling a person you're no good? Or thinking to themselves that they're no good? So the Rebbe is going to answer, it doesn't say, even if everybody tells you a tzaddik, you should be a rasha. It says kirasha, means a beinoni. That a person should never think they're a rasha. Pirkei Avos says, don't be a rasha in your own eyes. The concept of what you should think, you're a beinoni, this intermediate person that never sins. Because Alter Rebbe, as we move on to Tanya, will redefine what a tzaddik means, what a Rasha means and what a Beinoni means. That's a completely different interpretation.